Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11. I know as I say that, you're going to say, oh, we're going to the Hall of Faith. Well, we're going to be there, but literally I'm not going to be exactly talking about that. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject that I believe is really prevalent in our day. We're seeing it everywhere we go, and even this week, well, let me give you the title first. I want to speak to you on the subject of walking through difficult places. This week I heard somebody on the news say because of Uvalde, and by the way, we need to pray for those families out there in Texas that lost their loved ones and their children, and it was a tragic thing that happened, and we surely need to pray for them. And also, I failed to mention, but pray for Sarah. She's not doing well either and not able to be here today, but if you would, remember to pray for her. But you know, many times we walk through difficult places, but somebody jumps up and said, well, where's God? Well, usually somebody said, where's God, is somebody that needs God. Because if you know God, you know where He is, you know what He's doing. So today I want to share with you just a few things that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. You know, we think that we get saved, we think, you know, life's going to be wonderful. And by the way, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was getting saved. And life has been wonderful since I got saved. But it hadn't been an easy road. There's been a sorrow and difficulty along the way. And I thought about the people we've lost and the funeral last week. And we missed Brother Ronald already. And I hate that we've lost him. But I'm grateful that heaven gained him because he's in a much better place. So today what I want to do is my text is in chapter 11. And we'll be looking at those verses in just a moment, 32 to 39. But by way of introduction, I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. So it should be right there, if you would follow along with me. And I want to remind you of what is taking place here. This is the story of God's people suffering affliction in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The song they just sung about was John was in prison for preaching the Word of God. But yet, even John, just as human as you and I are, had some doubts. And he sent somebody, said, you go find out if this is really him or if we should look for another. However, today we find in verse 32 and 33, the Bible said, and listen, this is important, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partially while we were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst we became companions of them that were so used. All too often we see people serving the Lord faithfully, yet they're suffering. Just hard to understand why in the world would this happen to a child of God. But I want to remind you, this was the children of Israel that God's referring to and talking to them. And so he's reminding them that they did have affliction. But he said, in the affliction, I want you to remember some things along the way. The writer's way of saying that suffering for Jesus also, he said in verse 34, if you would look in chapter 10, he said, for you had compassion of me in my bonds. We find here, they talk about him being in bonds, and they had compassion upon him during his time in prison. And could I say today that Paul was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived or ever walked on the face of the earth? But yet Paul suffered some difficulty along the way, and many times found himself in prison for being faithful to God. But yet he had Christians praying for him as we should one for another. To a small degree, and I believe to a small degree, we can identify with some of these people. Now, when I get through today, you're going to understand that I don't believe any of us have ever experienced what some of them did. I don't believe that any of us ever will endure what any of these did if we're saved and on our way to heaven, because I believe the Lord will come back before that. But yet, we find that sometimes life hurts. Sometimes the enemies of truth afflict us, and they come against us, and they make fun of us. But I want you to know today, he said, remember, in verse number 32 there, he said, but call to remembrance the former days. And then look what he said in verse 34. He said, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, but you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Now, in other words, somebody was taking their goods. How about if somebody, I saw in the news the other day, I can't believe this, somebody had moved away or went somewhere and left their house, and when they come back, somebody had moved in their house, sold everything except the bed, and they were using that to live there. And they took everything, and I can't imagine what it would be like to come home and find out everything was taken. But I believe these people were experiencing that because they were losing the very things they had. But then go on and look with me at the remainder of verse 34. He said, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Friend, today, anything they get out of my house is nothing compared to what I'm going to get when I get to heaven. I'm grateful today that God has gone to prepare a place for me. I'm glad that He's coming back for me. I'm glad that I'm going to live eternally with Him in a place called heaven. And there's nothing earthly down here that we'll experience or have that is worth more than what we'll have in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. These people were suffering terrible circumstances. I'm not telling you this morning to depress you. I'm telling you this morning that God teaches His people through trials and afflictions. And even though they come, we're sorrowed in our heart. But yet we must learn to trust God along the way. Many of them were suffering physically. Many of them were suffering emotionally. Many of them were suffering spiritually. They were going through some difficult times. Many of them were being beaten. They were abused. They were put in prison. Thank the Lord. I don't know how I'm grateful that I escaped it, but I never got put in prison except when I went to preach to people, and I never had to hear the clang of the door and not know if I was going to get out. I'm grateful today that God protected me with that, but these people were losing everything they had. Their material goods were being confiscated. They were being stripped of their material possessions. Literally, they were going from being fairly well off to being paupers in their life. And because of their enduring abuse, some of them was thinking about walking away from their faith. I tell you today, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say this, and I hope I never do. But if you're a child of God, well, I guess I have. I've heard people that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I don't like what He's doing. I'm not going to serve Him anymore. Dangerous statement to make. Friend, I want to remind you today, if you're a child of God, you belong to Him. He will chasten you if you don't do what is right according to His Word. But there's people oftentimes that get to the point, and listen, I understand. There's probably times in your life, I know there's been times in my life, when the thought run through my brain, what's the use? Might as well give up and quit. But thank the Lord, something deep down inside, that didn't last long before something fired up inside of me and said, shut your mouth. Do you know what you're saying? God is real. God is able to take care of every need that you have. They were ready to stop following, but the cost was too high. And the message to them was, don't quit. And again, I want you to understand, this is setting the table for where we're about to go in just a minute. Look at verse 35 in the first part of 36. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward, for ye have need of patience. In other words, don't quit, just trust God. Quit thinking about quitting or walking away, and just turn your eyes toward Jesus, look full in His wondrous face. The things of earth will grow strange to them in the light of His glory and grace. And what do you say we need? We need patience. Talked to a man the other day, and he said, I quit praying for patience. I said, I quit a long time ago. No, the Lord's taught me some patience, and I'm still not near where I need to be. But here's what happens when we go through difficult times and when things don't happen just like we think they ought to. Just have patience. Don't do away with the confidence that we have in God and in the Word of God. He said in verse 37, he said, for yet a little while, and he that will come and will not tarry. But then in verse 38, there's the crux of the whole thing. He said, now the just shall live by faith. And friend, this morning I want to share with you just a few thoughts. The just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of souls. When bad things happen, God's people don't quit and walk away. If you're a child of God, come what may, God is on the throne and God is in charge of our life. And we're to continue to serve Him. Let me ask you a few questions. Have you ever prayed for something that you really wanted? You endeavored to trust the Lord for it. It wasn't anything bad, but you didn't get what you wanted. God didn't bring that about in your life. In other words, maybe you even got something worse than what you was praying for. You was praying for something good and got something bad. Have you ever prayed and asked God for healing of yourself or someone else? And I know for a fact all of us have done that. We pray, but the key to praying in that prayer is to pray for God's will. But we prayed and the person still died. And we said, well, why, God, we prayed. And you said if we have not because we ask not, and we need to come to you in prayer. But what we must remember is God is the final decision maker. And the Bible said if we're children of God, if we're living for God, by faith we ought to trust God and depend on God that He'll make the right choices in our life. Have you ever prayed and asked God for financial help? And boy, things got worse. And instead of getting financial help, it seems like you dug a deeper hole and you didn't know what in the world you was going to do. Have you ever prayed and asked God to get you out of some difficulty, but the problem got worse? All of us have. Does this mean that God has forsaken you? Absolutely not. Does it mean that your faith has failed? I don't believe so. I believe that we still may have faith. We still may ask God why. But what we must understand is that God's will must be done. Now, we've looked at a small portion in chapter 10, and I'm going to have to move quickly through chapter 11 to get where I need to be today. But I want to, the chapter number 11 has often been called the roll call of faith. It's been called the hall of faith, if you will. And these verses teach us what God's people do when they walk through trials. Now, when we start talking about chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, we're going to talk about some great people. But I want you to listen to what we're going to talk about, and you're going to find out great people many times, probably all the time, had it worse than you and I have ever had in our life or probably ever will be. But what did they do? I wanted to show you today, I pray, what we can do to help us face the difficult times in our life. The first thing we need to notice today is faith recognizes the power of God. I want you, if you would, to look with me today as we look at the passage of Scripture. In other words, to understand what God is doing, what He's doing in our life and through our life, if we'll put our faith and trust in Him and depend upon Him. But I want you to look at chapter number 11, in verse number 32. Verse number 32. Got a little bit too far there. 32 through 35. Chapter 11 now. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in their fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Faith can do anything. Somebody said that faith can move a mountain. We sometimes may not understand that as it is. But what we need to understand, there's stories in the Bible that remind us of what God can do. I love the story of Daniel. I don't have time to preach about Daniel much, but I know that Daniel was a man of God, and he loved God, and he got thrown in a den of lions. I don't like to say the lion's den because the liberals say, well, there wasn't no lions in it. No, they threw him in because the Bible said he used one of them for a pillow. But I do know this, he threw him in, and yet through it all, God protected Daniel. And God, if He has the power to protect Daniel, how much more can He protect you and I? Again, someone else I think about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew children, they were thrown in the fire. I think about being thrown in the fire, and God delivered them out of the fire. They didn't even smell like smoke when they come out. I'm telling you, we have a God that is able. If He's able to stop the mouths of lions, He's able to quench the fire where these men are being burned. And not only that, but He got in there with them, and they say, we see the fourth man likened to the Son of God. We love the story about Moses don't we? Moses was a great man, not always doing exactly what he needed to do, like none of us do. But yet he had faith in God to believe when he got to the Red Sea that God would part it and they would walk over on dry ground. That's the story that boggles my mind. All these do. In fact, the fire, three Hebrew children and Moses. And then the Lord fed the people of Israel with manna. How in the world? Man, I remember one time I had the statistics on that. How much manna, how many train carloads it would take to feed that bunch of people. But yet God provided every need they have. I like the story where Peter was brought out of prison. We love all these stories because they represent the power of God and how he takes care of his people. But now we've come to our text in verse number 11, chapter 11, verse 11 through 35. And our verses speak of the great miracles which could have happened only, or couldn't have happened only, except by the power of God. Friend, today there's nothing we can do apart from God's power. Anybody that's walked with the Lord for a long time, I believe today if we stop right now, some of you could stand up and testify. You could stand up and say, "Preacher, I've seen the hand of God. I've seen the power of God. I surely can. I'm so blessed at what God has done." But somehow, somewhere, God has worked a miracle for everybody in this building today. If you were saved and born again, that's one miracle. It was the greatest miracle that ever took place in your life. But I believe today that we'd all have to say there's more miracles along our way. Maybe he healed you. Maybe he touched your body and raised you up when they said that you would not ever rise up again. Maybe he met a financial miracle in your life. You didn't know what you was going to do, didn't know how you was going to pay that bill, but God came on the scene. Somehow or another, he took care of it. Maybe he gave you a domestic miracle. Maybe he just did for you what you could not do for yourself. But I want to tell you something. When God does something for you, it's a wonderful thing when God does it. Don't say coincidence. Don't say happenstance. Don't say lucky. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I've never been lucky a day in my life, but I've been blessed through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has touched my body, and he's raised me up. He saved my soul. He's gave me eternal life, and one day I'm going to live with him forever. I could tell you a bunch of things about me today, and I'm not going to. But the Bible is clear. God is all-powerful. He can do anything we ask him to do. In Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And the answer is no, absolutely not. He said in Job 42, verse 2, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." When the bottom falls out of life, we must go back to chapter 10 and remember. Remember the power of God. Friend, my God has helped me in all kind of situations, and he'll never fail me because he promised in his word. God can do anything. And I believe there's enough examples in the Word of God to help us understand that. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. When bad things happen to good people, and when things happen that's happened this past week, and it's not just in Texas, it's all over the United States. Bad things are happening everywhere. But friend, we better not forget the power of God. I know somebody is going to say, "Well, if he has so much power, why don't he stop this?" I don't know, but I do know that he's in control. I do know that he said all things work together for the good that love God. I don't know his thinking. His mind is not my thoughts, and my ways are not his ways. But the truth of it is, I recognize that God has the power to do anything. God has the power to do anything he desires to do, and what he does will be right. And I'm going to trust him because I want to spend eternity with him rather than being separated from him from a place called hell. Look at verse 36 through 88. Faith not only recognizes the power of God, but faith recognizes the purposes of God. The Bible said in chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 36 and through 38, but now, he just got through talking about all these people and what they did. The promises they obtained, that's where we was just at, the power of God, how God blessed them and gave them what they needed, and how some would not even accept the blessing, but they were willing to be tortured and from deliverance to obtain a better resurrection. Now, listen to what verse 36 said. "And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and in the caves of the earth. When difficult circumstances come our way, we always want the same thing. We want the best situation for our life. We want out. If we're sick terminally, we want physical healing. If we have a financial need, we want God to provide that need right now. And I'm going to tell you, God's done that time and time again for many of you, and I can say that, but what about the other half? And I would say today that somewhere in your life, you've either been touched by a trial, or you will be touched by a trial, and you're going to experience difficulty that you never wanted or ever expected. So what am I going to do? Not only are you going to recognize the power of God, but you ought to recognize the purpose of God, because God has a purpose for everything He does. We need to understand that God's purpose may have a different outlook than what we have when we get to hard places. It's exciting to read Hebrews 11 and read about all that He did. Think about what He did and how that God blessed and gave people the many miracles. And He talked about, but when He comes to verse 36, what's that second word? And others. Now, He's just got through talking about miracles that happened in people's lives. But He said there was others. Others were like the heroes listed in verses 1 through 34. They're the ones that overcome every trial, and they faced it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference. The Bible said in verse 34, verses 1 through 34, they received deliverance. Some of them did, but the others did not. The first group encourages us, when God blesses us, just keep on walking with God. He's blessed us, and He's going to meet our need. But the second group reminds us God's path for us does not always end with being delivered from our trials. I'll be honest with you. Many times God's answered my prayer not the way I would have prayed or wanted, but He answered my prayer according to the way that He desired and He wanted it to be. You see, He says, and others. Let's examine that. These others, they loved God. They believed God. They had faith in God. They trusted God. And they suffered. Somebody said, I don't understand that. I don't comprehend. Can I remind you that eternity is going to give us a blissful place to live forever and ever. A place where we will be around the throne of God. There'll be no more heartache, no more pain, no more death. And can we not endure a little suffering down here as we go through life? When you study the Bible, the history of the church, you'll discover that some of God's choice saints had some terrible persecutions. I've jotted down just a few. I'm not going to preach on them. Just listen. The prophet Zechariah was stoned to death. Isaiah was put in the hollow of a cedar tree. And King Manasseh had his men saw Isaiah in half. Stephen, a man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and a good man, was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. Many Christians were fed to the lions. They were torn apart by wild dogs. They died in many other horrible ways in a Colosseum. And the Circus Maximus, to entertain the bloodlust of the Romans, they would put them out there for entertainment. And they would take Christians and destroy their lives. But all through Christian history, Christians have suffered. Friend, who do we think we are, or who do we think we've come to the place to where it ought to be any different for us? And I'm going to tell you something, I'm still going to say it again. These people suffered way greatly more than we ever have or perhaps ever will. Some of them were put in bags with poisonous snakes and sewed up. Quite a painful death. Some had oil poured on them, listen to this, and they were set afire and used as human candles. By the way, if you never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you ought to read it. It'd shock you. Many were crucified like our Lord. Some were tied to the beaches at low tide, and they drowned when the tide come in. You should never get your theology based on circumstances. But your theology ought to come from the Word of God and understanding what God has to say in our life. You said, man, the circumstances are not good. And sometimes the circumstances might persuade you that God really doesn't love you. But it's a lie if you believe that, because God does love you. He will always love you. He loved you enough to save you. He's going to love you enough to keep you. And He's going to love you enough to come back and get you again, irregardless of what trial we may go through in our life. Somebody said, well, if God be with me, then why is this happening to me? Why not happen to me? There's people that have suffered greater sorrow than I ever have. And I want you to know today, I don't like suffering. I don't like problems. I don't like all that stuff. I love the blessings of God. But God has to bring the trials and the suffering to make us to be the Christian that we need to be. That's what Gideon said when the angel of the Lord came to him and said this. The angel came to Gideon and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? Even Gideon, he said, Lord, if God be with us, then why is all this happening? I don't understand why it happens, but I understand God is God. Let me give you another illustration. You remember in the Bible, Lazarus died. Now the Bible says, now Jesus loved Martha's sister, Martha and her sister and Lazarus, according to John 11:5. Instead of going to Bethany, Jesus stayed where he was at least for 4 more days. They called for him and they said, Lazarus is dead or dying. The Bible said Jesus answered this way. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. It was not, I think, probably just as boldly as he said it. And then look at the next verse. I know you're not there. But in verse 15 of John, chapter 11, and here's what he said. He said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. You're glad that Lazarus is dead? Listen, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to intent that you may believe. In other words, Jesus said, these people are going to be hard to really believe. And if I go and touch him, they're going to say, oh boy, he healed him. But you let him die and be dead for a few days, the power of God would be demonstrated in a mighty way. And yet it's hard to understand. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad I wasn't there. For you see, he wanted them to believe. He had a far greater plan. I don't understand. I don't know what his plan is, but I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand and trust him every step of the way. He has a far greater plan than I could ever think of. But people still say, Lord, you don't love us. They said, Lord, you kept Lazarus. You could have been, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. No, he wouldn't have. But they wouldn't have gotten to see the miracle that they saw when Jesus raised him up. Romans 8, verse 35 through 37, the Apostle Paul asked a rhetorical question. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In verse 37, Paul makes this glorious statement. He said, nay, listen, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying today, bad things are happening, but it just didn't start today or yesterday or last week. Been going on for centuries, and God's people have suffered. But God used our suffering to teach, to show, and to give lessons along the way. Difficulty does not mean God has abandoned you. He said in Hebrews 13:5-6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be with content with such things as you had. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't fear what man do to me. God's on my side. He promised he'd never leave me and he'd never forsake me. He'd always be there. And I tell you, God doesn't give you a promise and break it. God gives you a promise and he keeps it. The best place to get your theology from, I've already said, is from the Word of God. The Bible said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think one day, it seems as if people are falling away and people seem to have no desire. I talked to somebody today and they were telling me about some friends of theirs, and they said they quit church. They don't go to church anymore. Friend, I tell you, in the day I'm living in, I'm looking for Jesus to come. And I tell you, I realize I may be gone sick or I may be somewhere else when He comes, but if He comes on a Sunday or a Wednesday, I hope I'm in the house of God. I want to meet Him when he splits the eastern sky and claims me and takes me home to be with Him. Not going to spend time because we've already preached on it Wednesday night, and Justin hit on it a little bit before the kids sang a while ago. But John couldn't figure it out either. He said, if Jesus really is the Messiah, if He has all that power, and God told me to go preach about it, why am I in prison? I can't answer that, but God can. Jesus had an honest doubt. John had an honest doubt. He sent an honest question. Nothing wrong with the question to Jesus. And Jesus gave him an honest answer. He said, you know, if you have honest doubts, then come to the place where you just bring them to Jesus. There's nobody else can answer them. In response to John's question, here's what the Lord said. He said, go and show John again those things which he did hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. According to Matthew, Jesus said, John, I've got all the power in the world, even the power to raise the dead. Then Jesus said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Friend, today it's not good to be angry with God. Just because Jesus didn't get John out of prison didn't mean that Jesus couldn't get John out of prison. If he'd wanted to, he could have. But you know what happened to John? Exactly what God planned to happen to John. You know what happened to all them other men that he worked miracles in their life? Exactly what he had planned to work out in their lives. Stephen died in faith. He was a man full of faith. Faith allowed him to stand there. And when he looked up into heaven, he said, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. The ways of God are beyond our comprehension. God can deliver us from anything. James was put in prison. And I tell you, King Herod executed James by cutting his head off. James dies. Peter's put in prison. Peter is miraculously delivered from prison. You said, why did James die? Why didn't Peter die? He did later, by the way. Because it was not God's will and God's purpose for him to die at that time. Quickly, faith recognizes the power of God. Faith recognizes the purpose of God. But faith recognizes the promises of God. Look at verse 39 and 40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now I know what's running through your mind if you're listening to me this morning. He said, you just read, having obtained a good report through faith, they received not the promise. What's all that about? They didn't receive the promise they wanted, the outcome they desired, but they did receive the promise. You see, God will keep His promises. God's promises are fulfilled in His time, but their fulfillment also follows the schedule. And what God maybe hasn't answered now, it doesn't mean He's not going to answer. I guarantee you, some of you prayed for something for 10 years, and then God answered the prayer. But it wasn't because He didn't answer, but it's because He just delayed it just for a little while. You see, one day God will fulfill all His promises to His people. In verse 40, He said, without us should not be made perfect. Sometimes, one day, all those who have experienced victory over their trials, and even the ones that didn't, will be made like Jesus, will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. This is the promise of His people. He will keep His promise in His time. And friend, it may not be when we want it or when we desire it, but it'll come. Sometimes it seems God's forgotten about us, doesn't know where we are. Acts like sometimes we act like He don't know what we're facing. God knows what we're facing even before we do. Sometimes it appears as though righteousness will fail. while evil prevails, don't it? We've seen it everywhere in the news. But circumstances should not guide our life. But the almighty power of God should remind us of who God is. Not going to take time, but the Bible said in Romans 4, 20 and 21, he, being Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that while he had promised, he was able to perform. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Hebrews 6:18, for by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. If trouble comes your way, and you say to God, please get me out of this trouble, God doesn't get you out of that trouble. Just keep on loving him and keep on serving him, because what he's doing is guiding your life down the path that he wants you to go. Friend, don't rebel, but trust him to meet your needs today. God's able to deliver you. I know he's able to heal your body. I've told people, and I told the family, we prayed Brother Ronald just a couple weeks ago on Sunday night, prayed for God's will to be done. We prayed what we wanted was healing. And literally what we got was healing. Now, he's not with us here no more, but he's in heaven. But I guarantee you, he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't realize this, but somebody found this on YouTube and sent it back to me. But right after he found out that he had cancer, I let Brother Ronald preach, I think, on a Sunday night. And he sat in a chair, and he gave his testimony and shared what God had done. You ought to try to find it. Susan and I watched it the other night. When he got through giving his testimony about finding out he had cancer, he preached a message on heaven. Heaven. Well, he's in heaven today. Boy, if he could come back and preach to us now, I bet he could add a lot to that sermon, couldn't he? But thank God today. We miss him. We love him. We wish he was here, but I believe he'd say, I'm glad to be here. And friend, please, things happen. And I promise you, you ever heard somebody say, well, they somebody worse off than I am? Always is. But no matter what happens in our life, if you're a child of God, just keep on loving him, keep on trusting him, and he will meet